don't defy any other leadership tonight, Lord. Praise God for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord. Have your way with us. We won't fail to give your name praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name. Oh, I just want to know. Oh,
tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to get this part of the service out quickly. Brother Lindley Lakshmidiyal would like to give thanks to the Lord for the speedy recovery of his delivery of his wife. She had a baby girl last night and she's well. Then also Sunday morning, the believers from Bhattacharya, Brother Vin asked me to make this announcement that we will all be having service here on Sunday morning. The service will be at 10 o'clock and we would make the necessary accommodation for the believers here on Sunday. So those people who are not here tonight and you could inform them that service will be here on Sunday morning, we would appreciate it. Okay? So the service will be here on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and then the night service will be at 7 o'clock as tonight. And those people who have children and they would like special accommodation, we would do our best to make special accommodation for the people who have children and who would like to have a place close by the tabernacle that you could sit and eat with your family. We will do our best to make special accommodation for those people. Amen. I hope that suits everybody. It might just be just a trifle uncomfortable, but the sacrifice we put in would be far outweighed by the blessings that we will receive Sunday morning and Sunday night. Amen. So if you have to trade places just for the service, maybe stand for a few minutes and let somebody else sit for a while or something like that. If you do that, then I believe just that exchange would be pleasing to God and we would all be blessed. Amen. Could we bow our heads again, close our eyes, and we sing Something More Than My Yesterday.
Something more than my
welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Holy Ghost, we welcome thee.
Him one more time, everyone all around the building, all downstairs, welcome him in our midst.
Welcome, welcome.
Oh, Holy Ghost, we welcome thee.
Father, Lord, we welcome you in our midst, that you would go before us now, even as you went before us already in singing and worship, now in the breaking forth of the bread of life, the word of truth. And Father, may you make it so plain, may it be so relevant, so applicable to our very experience in this present hour. May it give us the charge of faith tonight, Lord. May the way be made so plain that we can walk in it with confidence. Let there be such a blessing poured to every heart, from the greatest to the least. And oh God, may you get on glory in this service. Father, may you do the exceedingly more abundantly above all we could ask or think. We are depending upon you and believing, oh God, even for the inspiration to speak the word standing here in the pulpit, that you would give it as we have need of it, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and we ask these things for your honor and for your glory and for the assistance of thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you tonight. Let's turn our Bibles. Genesis chapter 37. I trust you pray for me tonight and remember me. I believe I'm the most needy one here tonight. I was just studying today and, you know, a little message, and I thought maybe the room was kind of hot, so I went outside. I sit on a little bench I have in the back of the yard, and it just seems that, you know, I said, well, maybe the devil gave me a little fight here and there. And then I went back inside. I kept praying a little bit, studying a little bit, take a little rest and get up this evening. And just about around a little after 5, I just went to pray a little bit again before I came to service. And I just felt the Lord just changed the message. And I said, oh my, you know, the ministers know about that. This is a strange thing that at the last moment the Lord changed the message. So I started to have to look to find my books here and there, and kind of come and just wait in the end of the room a little bit until I feel the presence of the Lord, and just coming outside and just watching to see where he's going to lead us tonight. But I know he's here, and that my confidence is in him. Amen. But I believe that when he does these things, he does these things for our purpose. He's even training for us. And amen, we know that maybe there might be someone in the service tonight, somebody coming, somebody want to deal with it in a special way. He just knows how to work everything right. Amen. We have seen him work down through the years. We have learned to have confidence in him. And when things like that happen, there's nothing going wrong. Everything is going right. Amen. We thank God at the last minute he could just change it around, because he knows just what is right. And then when the things begin to come, I could just see it was the right thing. It's going to the right place. But, you know, sometimes you feel you maybe need a little more time. But it just makes us more dependent upon him when we stand here. And I've been having that kind of experience these last few days. Maybe think that God knows what he's doing, and I have supreme confidence in him tonight. Amen. So Genesis chapter 37, we're going to begin reading from verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Notice that 17 years old. Was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah,
and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, when he was mature, when he was more experienced in life, when he his faith had recognized his position. You know, when a man reaches a certain place, and now he could be a real father, now he, where he might be, you know, discovering things here and there in parenthood with the earlier children, he's more equipped here now for this son. So it seems like this son going to benefit from the father's full experience. So he loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Now, the prophet said, if I tell you, dream me a dream, you can't dream me a dream. It's God coming over in the subconscious mind and putting something in there. And the dream interpreted as a vision. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. See, that revelation began to cause a religious disturbance. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. You know, when you see sheaves, and the binding of the sheaves is the harvest time. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou have dominion over us? They understood that that meant dominion. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. He couldn't help it. And told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. I want to continue Genesis 41. A few years later, on in Joseph's life. You know how the experiences happened. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery. He became the servant of Potiphar. He served well, and God blessed him. And then he had his great time of temptation. And Potiphar's wife, you know, she lied against him, and he ended up in prison. And while he was there in prison, you know, the story about the butler and the baker, and how one was restored back to his position, one was judged. And here now we want to take from verse 14, Genesis 41, where he's coming out of prison. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. I want to drop down to verse 37, because between verse 15 to verse 36 is Pharaoh's dream being told and Joseph giving the interpretation. So from verse 37, here now, after Pharaoh heard the interpretation, it says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. And when I read that, I see full authority. Amen. If you say, whatever you say, amen. St. Mark 11:23. According to thy word shall all my people rule, and only in thy throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt, jurisdiction of all the earth, full dominion. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Notice, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah,
which means a reveal of secrets. He had a change of vesture and a new name. And he's going to go forth in the second ride, in a second chariot, and every knee was going to bow. He's going to execute full authority. Amen. Look what came out of the prison brought. Amen. Sometimes hardships and trials is for our own good. And he gave him as his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He was 17 years when he was receiving his word visions. He was 30 years when he had come into the place of fulfillment. He was no longer in infancy. As a little lad, at the age of 17 years, he was receiving visions of himself, having dominion and full authority. 13 years after, the vision had come to its fulfillment. It was being manifested, and here he was placed positionally with all the authority. And then one more place, Genesis 42, verses 6 to 9. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. That's exactly what the dream had showed. And Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spoke roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "From where come you?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, "You are spies. To see the nakedness of the land, you are come." Amen. Before you have a seat, let me get a scripture here I want to get. Psalms 105. The book of Psalms 105. There's a title with that. Praise his wonderful name. I just feel good. Amen. Just read the scripture and just feel like it charged me. Just read it. Amen. Psalms 105. Verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. As God. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph. So you hear what the Bible says? It looked like his brothers hated him. It looked like they sold him into slavery. It looked like they conspire against him. It looked like he was a victim of circumstances and a conspiracy. But the Bible said God was sending him. Amen. You know the way you could look at your experiences could frustrate you, or it could set you in the course to see God's glory made manifest. It says God sent him. Later on, he told him, he said, "God has sent me to save the world." But the God we are sending him was having them to hate him, conspire against him, sold him into slavery. And it was looking like everything was going wrong for him. And he had a lot of battles with them. But it was God's will being worked out. He sent before them even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron, them 2 years in prison. He wasn't just walking about having free. Oh, he might be given the place of authority to watch over them. Maybe eat a little better, sleep a little better. But his feet, they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time, that word in the Hebrew means the set time, the appointed time, that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. He was tried by the word of the Lord. What word? The same visions of himself that was revealed to him, that made him so inspired that he went and preached it. But that same word come back around and try him. Until the time came for the fulfillment of what was revealed to him through his word visions. That word tried in the Hebrew is the word T-S-A-R-A-P-H. Can I pronounce it? Spell it here.
It means to refine or to melt a metal, to purge gold or silver by fire in order to separate it from the impurities. So the word there is used metaphorically to mean to try or to purge away. In other words, the little impurities in his life, God was purifying the metal in his furnace of fiery trial until the set time when the vision was revealed to him about himself was to be manifested. Amen. The king sent and loosed him, as you read, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes of his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. May the Lord have his blessing of his word. You may have your seat. I'm sorry for keeping you late. I try my best not to hold you late. And I was telling my wife today again, I said, Gil, I have it set in my mind to finish a certain time. I said, but you know sometimes how it is, and trying real hard by the grace of God. But just sometimes if I feel that the people is missing something, you find I come back around and try to break down and explain, because I don't just want to say something and leave it hanging and have you wondering what I mean, you see. Because then, you know, to kind of follow me, sometimes the way I speak to, apart from not being able to have a good, clear voice, like Brother Gerald, you know, a good, clear, distinct voice. And then, at the same way, I kind of speak a funny kind of way, you know. I kind of speak in riddles, and one time I'm saying something here, and next time I'm meaning this. And if you don't listen to me clearly, it has to follow me. He said, that's why I have to read the message, because my thoughts coming from the air. I'm trying to draw from the air, because I believe that when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll bring back those things to our remembrance. So that's why, you know, you must have a passion to know the word. And as you read the word and you take in the word that was spoken by the prophet, because he says, you ministers, he said, take this sort of food and feed the sheep with it. So I'm trying to be faithful to that, to bring up these things that were spoken by the prophet, laying in the message here. As we see, we have need of these things in this time of famine. And I want to take for the title tonight, Prisoners, Then Vindicated and Placed Sons. Prisoners, then vindicated and placed sons. It thrills our hearts many times to hear about the great ministry that is coming, the great power that's been manifested. When we look and we saw what the prophet called amateur form, and we hear that what is an amateur form will be manifested in its fullness when the squeeze comes. And when we realize that the squeeze is already here in infancy, it almost excites us. The Lord, we are on the verge of what we saw in amateur form to be manifested in the fullness of his power. It's something moving. It's something that's all around us. It's something that God is just waiting to get us in the right place so we can really strike that thing. And we can see the sick healed by a word. We can see those that is crippled up, rise up and walk. We can see those who can't get a hold of it, get a hold of it. As the brothers reading last night, we can see those who kind of slow and not understand what's going on, but the inspiration strike them and they move into that channel. And they begin to receive the real victory that the message promises. And we know we're on the verge of it. What's going to be my super race, a super church? And we look at the types. And when it's preached and brought forth clear, Joshua stopped the sun. Moses opened the Red Sea. All these great things in the Bible, Samson killed more in the end than he did at the beginning. It thrills us because it must come to pass. Gideon, the son of the Lord and of Gideon.
But the sisters and the brothers say, thank you, Lord.
It's the spirit of Esther anointing us. It's the spirit of Gideon anointing us. It's the spirit of Elijah anointing us.
All those anointings is upon us.
Because all these things was the spirit of Christ being revealed, slowly unfolding, and is now being gathered up in a many-membered body. It's all going to be fulfilled in this bride. And when we see these things, you know, we say, oh God, look at the great things that you raised up for.
But then we become concerned when we see the lateness of the hour. We see everything else in place. We see everything else in the vision, in the place where they were supposed to be. The world congregation church is doing what it's supposed to be doing. The people in the world do what it's supposed to be doing. The communists do what it's supposed to be doing. Rome do what it's supposed to be doing. It's all laying there.
But then the bride, no. She's the one who has to be standing in that place.
And it seems that the word is coming forth. And the ministers trying to break through to the
people with the message to get them to see and move under the inspiration of the message and not just recognize the truth and say the truth and rejoice about it,
but begin to act upon it.
That we could see what we see in infancy
or
in a teeny move
begin to really float unto others
until there will not be one captive amongst us. Amen.
And we are looking for that. We desire it.
When you go to pray,
we don't pray about
house and car and land, all these other things. No, sir.
I mean,
there are times where it might be
necessary
to mention those before God. But the real test in our soul is to see that word
come to pass.
Because we are not satisfied
with
just a church life. Just coming to church and saying
the message.
But yes, we do that. Until
you
test that thing, amen.
Especially
when conditions come up and we can't seem to master
it
and bring it under our control.
And
especially if the devil has somebody eyes to see
that
he is beating us
and then
have them to talk about it. To kind of belittle us and humiliate us. But it's that kind of thing when it's going to make sport with Samson.
That
begin to push him into that game.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It begin to push him into a place. He couldn't take that no more. Because he remembered the very name of Samson.
They
had to run and tremble.
And brother, the name of Jesus, devil is a scamper.
Amen.
Yeah.
Even them sons of Sceva knew it. That they in charge to use it one time too. Amen. They know there's power in that name. And then we find out the prophet will be praying for the sick and they go back home sick. I said, oh God, something is wrong. He said, I went off on the blessings of the revival. See, the great revival that took place, like those, maybe I want to put a little message on that Sunday night, where they joined the boat and they're having the testimony service and going so real nice. But all of a sudden they found themselves in a situation. He said, I went off on the blessings of the revival. Oh, that revival, but it gave people who were even ministers ministries. It gave them worldwide recognition. It gave them churches and people. Often just the prophet with a message. The blessing was so great. People who never even met the prophet, who never even had a chance to associate with him, who maybe they even have all the books and tapes in their own language. Amen. Countries the prophet never even visit. They stand here today, brother, with hundreds of people under the ministry. Preaching not a message that revealed to them. Something that God spoke to a prophet to blast forth this earth and wake up every member of the bride. That sometimes people just hear a tape or get a book and they have to come here together now and come into the organization because you believe that. Have no minister self. They want somebody to shepherd them because they don't have no ministers amongst them. And people, they benefit off of the blessings of that revival. Man who might never make it in this modern time, have no education, have no skill or nothing. Brother, they come there and they have a security life. They secure. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of people get complacent with that. They get tied on with that. But I tell you, for surprise, because the Holy Spirit
from the book of Revelation is moving among his people. And you're deemed to wake up. You're deemed to catch that revelation. And you're deemed to come to life inside of them. And Brother God is getting among his people, getting among his ministers, and it's all to give them the boldness and the courage, amen. And the song to walk in the enemy camp, man. Take it and put it back under your feet. Everything we lost in 19 room, everything is 17, open and reveal to us that we're supposed to have it all right now. Supposed to be here. Amen. And we have been receiving a revelation. That's what the Word is speaking last night here. The Holy Union, the Holy Church, the Holy Works is something we're looking for. It's something we know that the faith has found its spreading ground. Because when faith finds its spreading ground, no circumstances is considered. When substance faith gets in the heart of people, they don't care what the condition looks like. Their soul so tight to what God said. Amen. Then let every man want to be alive. The most qualified physician. Let this word be a lie. Let God word be the truth. Amen. God wants to do battle with all these big intellectual giants and men of great renown in this age. Because many of them, when they reach cases, they cast up, they say, they have no cure for that. They have no cure for this. They have no cure for that. And they feel that when I say they have no cure, don't bother to do no more research because you won't find none. God said, what man called great is foolishness in his sight. God wants the people to believe that. Amen. God going to have two witnesses who will stand in the face of Mr. Skeptic. Mr. Unbelief. And Mr. Skeptic might be a great physician. Might be a very nice, sociable man. Might be very pleasant. Because that's the kind that does win your confidence quick. He said, boy, I remember when that doctor said, that man really can't talk to me. He put me this long in the chair. He make me feel sorry that. No one really got that person. They glad they accepted. That already happened in the air. They didn't want to be accepted. They didn't want to be entertained by somebody that thinks it's important. So their ego will come out to the night. But they don't realize you might spread them over with unbelief. Amen.
Because
if that man thinks against God's word, then they shall realize God put them in the doctor office to testify to the doctor. To tell him about a greater doctor than him. Hallelujah! See?
But many times people don't realize the responsibility of being a witness in this generation.
People don't realize the value that God gives them, the experiences he gives them for.
By the experiences
he has given them of his promised word, he has made them a witness. They become a voice in this intellectual age
of
science and education, amen. To testify, he's the same
yesterday,
today, and forever.
Because
he can't call Noah to be a witness in his age.
Noah was a witness in his age.
He can't call Abraham to be a witness in his age. Abraham was a witness in his age. And the prophet preached that message to trial.
He said
the word of God is a trial. He said the mind is a jury.
He said skeptic,
Mr. Unbelief, Mr. Impatience. He said they are the witnesses of the persecutor, Satan.
And he's bringing them
because they were charged that God made a promise he can't keep.
Then God promises the cycle and drive revival, and God promises
seven times will up his voice in the little group and wake them up.
And God
promised the bride was going to wrap him
to the
streets come, what the third told
them.
And then I see a bunch of people when the streets come, they're running, you know, they're compromising
on the job, all kind of different things,
inflation,
but they back them in a corner,
we see them hoarding,
and all kind of different things.
And then you see people talking about,
when the streets come,
they are no witnesses.
Because a witness is on who sees.
A witness is on who is
superior.
Amen.
So, when that time comes, God is going to have witnesses to testify.
There must be a people
when he comes and
he says, brother, you come forth. You come and give witness.
Amen. You
brother Sanchez, you come in the witness box. Hallelujah.
You got a doctor
saying, make another baby.
Amen.
The skeptics laugh on me.
Say, what kind of God you have?
He said, I have to wait
10 years.
But then Joseph Jireh come on the scene.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God is Jehovah Jireh. He is still as great as he ever was.
Amen. You see, witnesses with a testimony, the testimony of a true witness.
Then there was something every bride was supposed to witness. Amen. He promised a second ride.
Hallelujah.
Remember the bride who was to get into that inspiration, who was to become part of that great ransom church. That the prophet saw in the vision, that was going to wind up this commission, that was going to finish the ministry of the Son of Man, that was going to preach to the Lord, that was going to raise the sleeping saints. They all have to be struck with that inspiration. They must know of his reason. Because when Jesus rose, he went looking for his disciples. They had to know he was alive. And when they have a case of mistaken identity, he had to clear up that.
Amen.
By calling them by the name. When did they?
You are the gardener. Where is my Lord? He said, Mary.
To Rabboni.
Amen.
There ain't no gardener.
He's calling my name.
Hallelujah,
the resurrected word. When they were going to Emmaus, confused, like that in the pit of the air. I know a stranger.
In Jerusalem, you
haven't known these things.
Oh, and they've told them a lot of information about the message of the hour. And they're trying to preach them and tell them, what's the matter with you?
This great thing has shook up the nation. And why are we all perplexed?
Amen.
You mean to say, you don't know about these things? And he's listening to them and saying, sounds very good. But if you're only talking to events.
Amen.
They wasn't talking the scriptures. They were talking events.
But not the scriptures.
And he wanted to show them that what they were talking is events. It was the very prophecy coming to pass before their eye.
And then he began to take from Moses and the Lord, the Psalms and the prophets, all these things concern himself and preach a message, 6-hour message of prophecy to let them wake up and recognize that the Lord is risen indeed. And they who start off seeing him as a stranger saw him as the resurrected word at the end of that message.
He took his veil off of them, amen.
And he had them to look and recognize the fulfillment of the promise I promised, and the very thing that they said, you know, he's dead, and that was we sad and gloomy. But that very word, taking the history and putting it back into the prophecy, anointed the faith, it gives them joy. They didn't wait to finish the supper. They ran straight back to Jerusalem. 6 hours journey to go and testify the Lord is with them indeed.
Amen.
They become witnesses. Hallelujah. So we look and we see that he was looking for them because they have to be a witness. They have to have a testimony. And in this hour, how could you be a Christian? Walk in the Bible, tell me the message, and you don't have a testimony.
Another testimony, like Pentecost, I have a testimony. Oh, yeah, I have no car, I don't have a car, friend, God give me a car. Oh, I have no house, I have no job, and God give me a job, you know.
But Mary, brother, hallelujah, when she went up to Elizabeth's house, she had a testimony, amen.
Hallelujah!
What was her testimony? The prophet's prophecy was coming to pass in her life. It wasn't completely fulfilled, but she recognized the prophet's word in the process of fulfillment in her own life.
Because Isaiah the prophet had said, a virgin shall conceive. That was the word of a vindicated prophet laying in the Bible.
And the hour of fulfillment, the angel of the Lord came, took the prophecy back and said, Hail Mary, the Lord is with thee. Behold, thou shalt conceive. And he put her under prophetic inspiration. She came under expectation for a prophesied promise to be interpreted in her life. And when she was given that testimony, the Holy Ghost fell.
Hallelujah!
Baptized Elizabeth, and she began to prophesy too. And the blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance.
Hallelujah!
Of those things told you from the Lord. There shall be a performance. How many things the Lord have told us in this hour? You shall be a super church. You shall be a super race. You'll write another book of Acts. You will preach to the Lord. When it comes to perfection, it will bring the resurrection. There shall be a performance of those things.
Hallelujah.
Abraham staggered next to unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God, believing that God was able to perform what he had spoken.
He believed it.
God was able to perform what he had spoken. But if he was praising God, praise him in the morning. Amen. Praise him in the noontime.
Are you crazy? You're trying to make believe that? You said, watch me 10 years from now.
He was going stronger in faith. Amen. It wasn't a Sunday morning praise. No, so amen. Wednesday night, tired, had to go to service. Check yourself, amen. Pinch your conscience. Get in the house of God. Hallelujah. Because a revelation busted him inside of the head. Living daily, looking for what God has spoken to come to pass. Amen. A holy union, a holy faith, a holy works will produce a holy promise of the voice of the archangel. It's a promise, friends. Our promise is not a baby. Our promise is the voice of the archangel will be the voice of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Where Jesus said, I am the resurrection, the life. He knew he was the second Adam. He knew he was the corn of wheat. The seed that come back to seed. That's what a resurrection is. The corn that go don't come back up. When you plant a grain of corn, you have two leaves come up the stalk. That's not a resurrection. Because resurrection is the same thing go don't come up. And when that same grain came back, he said, I am the resurrection. Because he called himself the corn of wheat. He said, except a corn of wheat fall the ground and die. It abide alone. He said, a stalk or a tassel or a shock. He preached in Mark 4 about the stages of the growth of the wheat. But he didn't call himself none of them stages. He said, about corn of wheat. Because the corn of wheat, the seed, is the image of the life. And Adam was in the image and likeness of God. And Jesus Christ was the express image of the invisible God. No one in the Bible says, we behold in the glory of the Lord is in a mirror. Are being changed from glory unto glory into that same image. We are predestined to be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. There's an image of the word that we bypass, that we must come back to. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God to know inside of me was something in this dirt, this Trinidad dirt. God, the great farmer, planted a seed. Amen. And God watered that seed with the Holy Ghost and transforming power, changing that seed, bringing back the image of Jesus Christ that a man can walk on the earth again and reflect God. All seven spirits in it being reflected in a body of people. Amen. Hallelujah. To show, just like Jesus reflected God. Amen. He said, believe as though I am the Father in me. And the works I do in the light, remember the Father has built me to do the works. And my Father is one. Philip said, Lord, show the Father. He said, so long I'll be with you. And you don't know me. When you see me, you see the Father. Hallelujah. Glory. What it was the seed, the word, the very image coming back. Amen. And that's exactly, we've been laying that in there, holding you in the holy faith and holy works, will produce the holy promise, the voice of the archangel, the resurrection and the life. The bride will come to a place where she will say, I am the resurrection, not Luther, not Wesley, not Pentecost, but I am the resurrection, I am the life. No man come to the Father except by his bride. Amen. When he that had seen her had seen the bridegroom, believest thou not that he dwelleth in her and she in him? John 14:20 says, in that day you will know I and you and you and me. If we are living in that day, that revelation must strike somebody. The amnesia must leave them. They must have an experience to recognize that they are conformed back into that very image. That they are standing there, the living word. Then how are you going to know? Then watch the word herself, take the word itself, and begin to unfold herself in itself. Amen. Prove that she is part of this Bible, because the Old Testament is the bridegroom. Amen. When Jesus came, the New Testament was written. The New Testament is in his blood, and his blood was shed for seven ages to redeem those in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. But when he came, he took the Old Testament and proved he was Messiah. Search the scriptures in them to give eternal life, they testify of me. He took the law and the Psalms and the prophets and all things concerning himself, because he was the principal theme of the entire book. Is that correct? Amen. So then that New Testament is his wife. Amen. It's the one that the blood was shed for. Hallelujah. And just like the bridegroom, he didn't come in the beginning of the Old Testament or in the middle, he came at the end of the Old Testament. Amen. And all down through, each prophet, each priest was showing closer and closer that one that was coming. The message was about that one. Hallelujah. And down to the New Testament,
It has been unfolding. In each age, we've seen part of what the bride is going to be like. We've seen part of what she's going to be like. But there was no age where the full bride was manifested. But at the end of the New Testament, amen, on the back of the Bible, hallelujah, glory, there is a comfort of people. Amen, the ransomed church of God, a church without spot, without wrinkles. Can't be no denomination. No, sir. How are you so sure, brother? Because the bride was part of the bridegroom. When God is making a bride, he took part of Adam to make Eve with. Amen. He didn't take some other material. And the bridegroom is the word. Then the bride will be part of the word. Hallelujah. Then part of this word is going to reveal a bride. No wonder it had a mystery inside of it. But Rebecca and Sarah and Esther and Ruth and Rahab and Mary. Amen. All the women in the Bible had a mystery about the bride of Christ. Amen. Who's going to come forth in the end time and prove that she's that bride? Just like Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here, a greater than Jonah is here. There will be a people rise with a real revelation, with a real experience, with a positive identification, with a supernatural vindication to prove a greater than Ruth is here, a greater than Esther is here, a greater than Rahab is here. Amen. To show that she is that bride. Amen. The Lamb's wife. Glory be to God. One like Eliezer, one man who went out and get that bride in the evening time. Amen. Pull out! Amen. To take her to the unseen bridegroom. And this is where, when that faith is striking our hearts, that faith is what? Revelation. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By revelation. The trouble is that people are not receiving revelation. Because they're not in the spirit. They're too materialistic in the mind. Amen. They're too earthbound. On the barnyard post. See? So notice, we must get in the spirit of revelation, because Abraham, he was seeking God concerning the promise. He approached God and said, God, you said so. You let me go childless. Look at the kind of massage me had the other night to kind of revive me back when I almost collapsed. And the promise didn't come to pass yet. Lord, what's going on? And God, brother, you were desperate. Maybe God put the experience there because you're kind of getting complacent with just the other little blessings. But God know every word he spoke must come to pass. You see, when you think maybe you satisfied, you contented with a little blessing, God know you have already spoken something to be interpreted by you. And if you don't get under the responsibility to see that word become manifested, if you don't anoint that word day and night, if you don't live on the expectation of those things, if you don't testify about it and make ready for it to happen, amen. Then you find it will just remain there as some little saying, as some little talk. But if the word spoken to be manifested at a certain time, it must be manifested. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost cannot push upon you, brother, all you can see is that word. And Abraham, notice there, we are showing how his promise is a baby, but our promise is not a baby. Our promise is that we will become that living word made manifest in this hour, because that is his redemption. Man fell. Man was in the image of God. Man and God was one in the beginning. Adam had dominion over the whole earth. Adam was an amateur God under God. Amen. Then God must bring back that kind of man on the earth. When Jesus came, he revealed to us what we fell from. He showed us what we bypassed. He says, no man can come to the Father except by me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Amen. It means you are showing us what we fell from. He walked on the water, he speak to the storm. They marveled. They said, what kind of man is this? Amen. They never see a man like that. But that was the kind of man that God made in the beginning. Amen. Amen. And here we see in the Bible that God, victory, the reason that Christ died on the cross was to redeem back that. That in the last day you could point to our people and say, here they are. Everything that a man was in the beginning, everything I gave him, amen, the character, but his life, his power, his dominion, let the devil try him, do what he wants. Satan has no place in him, tempted him at all points, but yet without sin. I do always those things that please the Father. Amen. There would be a people that stand like that, because this bride will prove that she is not like Eve. She will prove it. God will send the same kind of devils to seduce her, to entice her. Like Paul said, Eve, having beguiled by the serpent. Amen. Seduced. Amen. But this bride, not this bride, brother, she's going to stand here. Every God put in an age of false anointed ones. If it's possible to deceive the elect, but because this bride is part of the bridegroom, because she's part of the word. Amen. She's going to meet him at every turn. Don't you know when God rules them devils in your home, when they come among your children sometimes? Is God making you stand in that world to prove to this world, amen, to prove to the devil that you're not like Eve? You know, to back up in a corner and cringe with fear and get frustrated in your experience? Is to recognize why God has called you in this hour. What age you're living in? What is God's objective for this hour? Why did God allow those things? Because nothing can happen to you except God allow it. Thinking not strange, the Bible says, concerning the fiery trials. Don't let no mind battles come and confuse you. If you have knowledge, amen, then you know to conduct yourself with joy amidst the trials he in his wisdom allows to come to pass. You know dark skies is no sign of God's disapproval. You know bright sunny skies is no sign of God's approval. It is God's prerogative, amen, to commit to death as he did Paul, or to suffer as he did Job. But you're going to stand here, amen. Hallelujah. Knowing that God is allowing that to give you a testimony of a testimony. Amen. You can come forward with a real experience of his word. It will not be a letting in mind. It will be a personal experience. Amen. The word made spirit and life in you. That when you worship God, you don't worship God in the oldness of the letter, but in the newness of the spirit. Because righteous laws in your hearts and minds. Amen. Glory be to God. You stand there written in peaceful word of all men. Amen. So look, holy faith and holy works. Abraham had it. He had it together. He didn't have faith, but he had works too. He said, God, I believe you. He said, all in the heart. I thank you, Lord, you show me tonight. The stars of the sky, I'll never question no more. Lord, I'm going to go back out there. I'm going back and see that same doctor next week. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, I ain't care sometimes. If maybe, you know, I think I couldn't do my work, I'm going back and start doing my work. I'm going to start digging my wells and get water from the cattle. Amen. All this kind of, you know, checkup, regular checkup. He said, don't do all that. Amen. Because, no, I can't die. Your word must come to pass. God wants people who will take him at his word. Amen. But Abraham and a holy man taste. From the water the holy man taste. When your thinking is filtered, when the carnal mind moves away and the mind of Christ comes in, and now you begin to think God thoughts, because a revelation of what part of the world you are has opened up to you. You know God's program. You're in the rhythm of the word. You're in the spirit of the symphony. Amen. But you're under the inspiration of the word for the hour. You're not confused. But what you're going through, you know why God is sending those things. You're not confused with chastisement and punishment. Amen. But and trials. Some people, you know, they get trials. And they confuse the things. God punishing them. And they're all defeated and down. And then God chastising some people and they think they're being tried. It's a big difference. Amen. See, one is to give it display his life before the enemy. One is to get your childish ways. Put away childish things. Stop thinking like a child, talk like a child, but become a man. Amen. Hallelujah. So you won't be a bastard. You won't be a spoiled child because he have a ministry for you. He wants to bring you to adoption. Amen. So we see then that promise, Abraham wasn't just enjoying the thoughts of the promise. That God gives you the thing. He didn't rejoice in the intelligence of God. To see the wisdom of God. To think of a thing like that. He thirsted to see that confirmed in his life. A lot of people don't enjoy the intellect. They enjoy the ability to see things and explain things. They enjoy that self that you know what that make them like a deep thinker. But not Abraham, but he wanted to see it happen in his life. He didn't want to give people a conception or theory about God. He wanted to look at me and you understand God. Amen. Look at my life. Look at God here. There's God here. Explain that over here. Look, God do this over here. Amen. And we're showing true faith brings you the power. Abraham didn't have a hard faith. He didn't have a revelation. That revelation brought him to the power. And when he came to the power produced the promise. Amen. And in every age, there's a promise prophesied for that age. And if when you receive your revelation, when faith falls into your heart, in your age, when your promise with this faith being revealed to you, when God inspires the promise of the age you are living into you, that is for you and belong to you and is working in your life to bring that to pass, that is faith. Because faith is a revelation of God's word for the age that you are living in. And the word of that age is God's prophesied promise of that age to become flesh in your life. Amen. And then we left you with the question last night, what have our faith, our revelation of the word for this age brought us to? If God gave you a revelation years ago, what has it brought you to? Have you become domesticated? Have you become socialized? Have you become just religious? Have you become just belong to a church membership, a church attendance? Or are you strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God? That you're not standing to unbelief, that no among the obstacles the devil throwing your way is confusing you or hindering you, amen. You've seen the promises at hand and you're bulldozing your way through it. More determined than you ever was. Because it's nearer when you first believe. And we showed Abraham's faith brought him to the power. It brought him to the third pole. It brought him to Jehovah Jireh. And the very same place that this bride is to come to a ministry of the spoken word. This bride is to come to an experience of Jehovah Jireh in this hour. Then have all revelation brought us to that place where we can offer that burnt sacrifice. Where we can bring Jehovah Jireh on the scene. Amen. Look at Abraham and Isaac. Both attributes of faith and love. Abraham, faith and Isaac, love. Amen. The foundations on the headstone, both characteristics of Christ being revealed. Amen. Abraham, but obedient to God. Isaac, obedient unto death. Amen. Look about them. Abraham poured that revelation in his heart there. It brought Isaac total submission. Amen. To the Father's will. Amen. On the mountaintop, look what it took to bring Jehovah Jireh on the scene. Look at the character. Look at the testing. And we see where, how, what made Abraham stand that way. He was able to look back from his first revelation and see how God continually opened up that one revelation. And he was so under the effects of that word that brother knew God could not deviate from the line of his word. He had followed the line of the word. He had followed the line of the spirit. And from 1966 to 1987, we have been following the same line that the prophet had followed from the first, from back in Eden right down to that time. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He said, I tell you what God is thinking in the back part of his mind, how it unfolds right up to this present time. Is that correct? Then we are following that one same line down until that very purpose God had in the back part of his mind is made manifest. Amen. So then we are confronted with a certain part of that word. We can't give it to the Pentecostals because they don't reject the word. We can't give it to the Jews because that time is not past. We can't give the prophet to fulfill it. He fulfilled his portion. He knew how to read the word and stuck on the wind of the scene. So we are locked in with that word. That word is upon our hands. Amen. We would be guilty that word is not manifested. And God has one objective, to bring to pass that word in your life if you are a believer in this hour. God has no other objective. You should have no other ambition. Amen. Other than that word come to pass. Amen. So may God help us. Now here tonight, as we look in the scriptures, look at Joseph. In Genesis 37, we see him here. As we fall him tonight, prisoners then vindicated and placed sons. That as we look at Joseph, all of them in the Bible, they was put there because what we see in the book of Genesis, it will go all the way back to Revelation, if our revelation is correct. Genesis is the seed chapter. Everything on the earth tonight started in Genesis. You know that? Because in the harvest time, we are at the end of the world. Then Genesis genes, G-E-N-E-S, seed. That is seed chapter in the book of beginnings. Amen. That's where everything have its origin. God planted every seed there, every shadow, every type, every promise to be manifested in the last days is laying right there in the book of Genesis. And when the Holy Spirit will come, since the book has been opened, and begin to teach us further on those truths that we can look in with, now that our eyes have been anointed with eyes have, because that's what he told us, come and bow me eyes have, that your eyes will be anointed, that you will see because it's a blind age, but the light has come. Amen. And if the light come, what good would light do a blind man? Amen. So the eyes have was to anoint our eyes. And why did the light come? To shine upon.
show us our age, our promises.
What part of the word God is working to be fulfilled now? What God has called us for, what is the purpose He has called us for? Because we say he called us for a purpose. If we say, Brother Jennings, come, I called him, he hear his name called. But then I have to reveal to me purpose why I call him. And I say, go and give me a glass of water. No, he has a vision why he called. Then he goes forth under the inspiration of the revelation of the purpose that he's called for. Then he goes and he gets the glass of water. And he comes back and gives it to me. Then when he hands the glass of water, he sees the purpose that he's called for fulfilled in his life. So he says, I've kept the faith, I finished my course. He has a personal experience of the word that called him and revealed the purpose why to call him fulfilled in his life. It is no longer a spoken word, it is now a manifested word. It is a word of prophecy become history in his own life. That word can no longer be fulfilled, it has been fulfilled. Amen. So when our eyes are anointed and we look in the word and we see these things, the Holy Spirit blows the flues out of our mind. That is not some Jewish business back there. It's not some ancient story. But it's God laying his word in seed form in Genesis, because in Revelation, what seed is in the field will reproduce itself after its kind. Do you know that? Amen. So what's something here? Joseph, you know, he's a strange boy. And here God has given him some experience, because Joseph is a type of the bride today. Amen. Because Abraham represented Luther, faith. Isaac was love. Jacob showed God grace from a deceiver that put his power before God, showed the Pentecostal age. And then Joseph represented perfection, a type of the bride. And seeing that Joseph is a type of the bride today in this adoption age. Amen. And we see in Joseph's life from in seed form where he comes into the story here as a young boy, 17 years old, and how the experiences of his life unfolded until he was placed positionally with all authority. We see him receiving revelations from God of himself and his future. And we see him tried by those revelations, and then he comes into the fulfillment of what he had preached about his own self. Is that correct? So look here now. When God is showing you something about yourself, now God wasn't just showing Joseph anything. He was being very specific in the things that he was showing the boy. And the first revelation, because remember, faith is revelation. He didn't even know the will and purpose of God for his life yet. But the time comes, like each and every one of us, we're in the world, we come along. But faith is a new birth. And it takes the word for your age to bring that new birth in you. So you can't be born by a word for a past age. That's a corruptible birth. So that's being born again, not by corruptible seed. That word of already lived time out. But being born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. You can't get some Baptist birth or some Methodist birth or some Pentecostal birth. That age is finished. You have to be born for your age to recognize what God wants to do in your age. Because every age have its own promises, have its own elect, have its own seed, have its own time. Because God's program continually unfolding. So you have Abraham at his time, Isaac at his time, Jacob at his time. Now Joseph is the principal character. And here he comes in that age. And the vision begins to break forth as God goes to a seal up. Remember, those were sealed up now. He didn't know what it was, but the time for it to be unsealed. So God begins to release inspiration to Joseph of himself. So he can have a vision of God's will and purpose for his life, and he could faith could be set direct on the promise and the objective that God is working to achieve in his life. Because if you don't know what is God's objective in this age where he's trying to work and fulfill in your life, you can't really serve God. You can't really please God. Because God may want you to do this, and you could be doing this. And then God may try to take this away from you so he can fulfill this in your life. And you'll be trying to hold on to this because you ain't seen that that is an obstacle, because you don't know what God is working to achieve in your life. So you're finding that Joseph, while he was there, the hour came, because remember, you can't dream a dream. And to prove that it was not just maybe a hamburger dream, lie down and eat, that sort of thing, and that dream a lot of things, Solomon saying, I'm going to do a business, I'm going to dream things. But we find out later on prophecy was eventually fulfilled to the letter. And when it happened, he remembered the dream and he told them. He said, God had a hand in that. It's not that anything went wrong. God, everything went right. Okay, so what? So let's study his dream a little bit because we kept his faith. Because remember, those visions, those word visions about himself was revealing the mystery of God for that age that he was living in. God wasn't revealing things about what happened to Abraham. God wasn't revealing things about what happened to Isaac or Jacob. God was revealing to him something he was going to fulfill in that hour. God wasn't even revealing something to him about Ephraim and Manasseh and them down the road. The word that was opening up was showing him what was to be fulfilled in his life at that in that age that God placed him to live in. And here we see the first thing come. He dreamed a dream that he was binding sheaves in the field. Because God wanted him to know it was harvest time. Because it's only harvest time you get a sheaf. When the grain comes back to grain, it becomes a sheaf. And that is when they begin to cut the sheaves and bind them and gather them together in the field. So because Jesus says, look, the field is ripe on the harvest. The laborers are few. That go in and we can gather the sheaves together. So watch. So here he was. He was receiving inspiration of the harvest time, and he saw in the great gathering time when the sheaves was being bound together, and the sheaf, the wheat is the image of the life. The life is back in the original image. Going to plant a seed, that is the original image of the life. It falls in the ground, it dies. The image is shattered. It has to rebuild back itself. But it's going to rebuild back itself through a process of time. Like Adam was in the image and likeness of God. Then when Adam fell, the image of God was shattered. Then every man come bypass the word image. But when Jesus came, he didn't come by sex. Because from Adam to Jesus, every man came by sex. And they came from thought to flesh and bypass the word. But when Jesus came, he was the word made flesh. And to prove he was the word, to prove he was in the image, he had dominion. So God was rebuilding back the image. The life was coming through all the prophets, Moses and Elijah and Abraham and Jeremiah and Isaiah. It was coming through until it was gathered back up in Jesus and he said, except a corner which falls. And Paul said, Christ our first fruit. Called Leviticus 23, the feast of the first fruit, showing that Adam was the first corner wheat and Jesus was the last corner wheat. And that was the first one up from the dead. That was the first one to mature. So Joseph, in the harvest time, was catching a vision of the form image of the word. In the harvest time, the great gathering time, and he saw that when that image comes back, it's going to have dominion because God made man his image and his likeness and gave him dominion. And when he spoke that revelation, it caused disturbance. Right away, the brothers understood and said, will you have dominion over us? You see? Because they knew it was speaking about dominion. They said, will thou reign over us? Would you have supreme authority over us? But he could only preach what was being revealed. Then God was beginning to slowly unfold. Now, it was God had one goal and one objective for Joseph's life. And it was being revealed in shadows and types. God had given him, in the first shadow, it come like wheat in the harvest time. Then God gave him the same revelation, but in another shadow. Next dream come now. But a while he was there, maybe one day, sing along, meditating the first one, kind of fall asleep. Then the next one break forth. And he see the sun and the moon and the stars, which is his family. And he checked the stars, the 11 of them, which is the 11 brothers. And how they bow down and made obeisance to him. Because you know, in your home, is a galactic, you have a solar system in your home. The father in that home is the sun. The mother is the moon. And the children is the stars. Now, sometimes if the world come in there and get between the sun and the moon, you know what's going to happen? They have an eclipse in their home. Throw the home in darkness. Then the father won't go service. The mother start to argue and fight. Then the children become wandering stars. Become delinquents. Amen. Because why? The husband
But he's the head, he's the sun. He has a shine for the light. That's Christ. The moon is the church. That's the woman, that's the bride. And the church is stars. You see? And brother, if you find brother in a pole there, that them stars begin to get out of the position and become fallen stars, then you have trouble in the home. So brother Joseph was dreaming those things and he was catching those mysteries. It was mysteries of God. And it was opening up to him. And when it opened up to him, it burned inside his heart. He couldn't keep it yet to preach it. So he went and he began to preach. And he began to preach and tell him, he says, look, I'll dream it again, something else. And he's thinking, well, it would be gladly received. Only to find out it was causing religious disturbance. Until, brother, it caused so much contention and strife. And one day he come and say, look, the dream are coming again. Now, what was causing trouble was, in his vision, God was showing him his father's part. God was showing him his mother's part. God was showing him his brother's part. But when he would speak these revelations, his part was preeminent because he clearly understood his part, and that is where his faith was focused. You know what I'm saying? And God has been giving us revelations. And we have seen the part of the seven church ages. We see the part of the last half of the 70th week. We see the three prophets inside of the air, one before the rapture, two after the rapture. And we see between the Gentile prophet and Jewish prophet, there's a part inside of the air. So when we preach the revelation, we emphasize our father's part so much, our mother's part, or the church's part, or the Jewish part. We emphasize in our part. And when we begin to emphasize our part, that causes the religious disturbance. Because it is being misunderstood. God is being misunderstood. And it causes disturbance until they say, so who thinks he's at all? Who thinks everybody listens to him? He thinks he alone has a revelation? He thinks so and so? Because why? There was misunderstanding what's going on. Because Joseph was personalizing that word. Because why? He was seeing himself so clear in those visions. Because God was showing him his own self. And it was a revelation of adoption being revealed unto him. Where he was going to be placed positionally with authority one day. He was not yet in the position, but he was catching a revelation of the position. I saw it on a statue of a perfect man here, so I can illustrate it better to you. Because faith, your revelation, what you receive as faith, is really a revelation, the capstone, your adoption. If you get any other revelation, faith, you get the wrong revelation. Because the revelation, you see yourself fully restored, and you're walking step by step by step into it. Amen. His real ministry was not here with the brothers. His ministry was going to come. The real purpose he was waiting for was to save the world. Amen. And he was going to come into fulfillment into that ministry at an appointed time in the future. But he was catching the mystery of God not fully revealed and going forth preaching it. Amen. Hoping to steal away the brothers. Amen. Under that revelation. But it was caused a religious disturbance. But he had faith in his anointing. He wouldn't back down on his message. Amen. And God, you see, I've been given a revelation. Just like Joseph. He was seeing a vision of adoption being revealed in the wheat, in the form image of the life, in the harvest time, having dominion. He was seeing the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down. And the same way, whether it was Samson doing the greater works in the judgment hour, or Esther, but after Mordecai revealed what the plan of the enemy was before the persecution, where she went into the royal apparel and received full authority. Or whether it's Rahab talking on display in the Ephesians at the end of the journey. Regardless of what type God used, it's the same one promise. But God revealed that vision to Joseph, but in shadows and types, slowly letting the mystery out. Not revealing all at one time, but gradually unfolding it. Amen. And then, as he began to get under the inspiration of his vision, preaching those things, then we see what happened. The time came. He preached those things and it caused a disturbance. Next thing, we find that the time comes, God had his mind, how he's going to work to fulfill those things. No, he was seeing it as a revelation and preached it, but didn't know exactly how God was going to bring the pass, when God is going to bring the pass. He didn't know. But all he knew that those things were revealing his future. And he was coming under the effect of the revelation being revealed unto him. And that's why last night, I only heard people, Micaiah and Gideon, all those things. It is God giving you word visions of yourself, showing what you will do at a future time. Just like Joseph was getting word visions of himself. When God was showing you about Esther, he was showing you a word vision of yourself with full authority to save your people. When he was giving you a word vision of Gideon, he was showing you yourself, but after you offer your burnt sacrifice, you receive power to face the challenge when the squeeze comes. When he showed you Micaiah, he was showing you that in the days when Elijah's prophecy was getting ready to be fulfilled, when the nations been gathered together to go to war in the battle of Armageddon, and the fowls of the air was going to feed upon them, how God was giving you a vision to preach to the lost when hell was being created on the earth. Because why? That is the portion of word that you have to manifest in this age to prove that you are bride. You can't say, I believe the message, I believe, but Abraham is bride. No! That word has to be interpreted in your life. That is unto that end are you predestinated. You see, Joseph was predestinated to that place. He was ordained in that age to come to that place of adoption where he'd be placed with all authority. And his revelations, his word visions, he saw himself already placed. And he was preaching a vision of perfection like if he was anything already. But he was walking under the inspiration of it, looking for the interpretation literally in his own life. But what's something? His ministry really came into operation where he really fulfilled God's purpose after he came out of prison. Because all his visions pointed to a future time. Rahab had a token with a family unsecure on it in the judgment hour. When Joshua, the destroying angel, the angel of wrath, destroying everything in the land. We're looking for that. See, Samson doing the greater works in the judgment hour, more than he did in the beginning, when the enemies gathered together to make sport, long after the eyes are gone, when the new cup comes out. You see, in that final ride, when the token is on display, and going out to the total loss. You see, all those things, it is God showing us something about ourselves, and we have seen it, and we are understanding clearly the path of the world conqueror churches. We understand Haman's path, Zeresh path, Vashti path, and we see our path, but we emphasize our path. Amen. Now look here now. Now here, we see how the story unfolds, and Joseph ends up in a foreign land. But that religious servant, he became excommunicated, went out there, and the brothers conspired because he couldn't take that revelation. And then finally, what happened? He was kind of sold into slavery. And then when he was sold into slavery now, God trying him, working to bring the promise to pass, because every time God break that vision, God was working and continuing to fulfill it. Now, it may have looked to him like I was being blessed while I get revelation, but now like I ain't getting no revelation. So like maybe things going wrong, like everything happening wrong for me now. Because maybe I stand up too strong, maybe I preach too hard, maybe I should compromise a little bit and be a little more sociable or whatever it was. And he might have been thinking a lot of different things. But God, who had shown the vision, he had seen a vision of himself. He became under expectation for the fulfillment of the vision. But he was going to be tried before it fully came to pass. Like Abraham last night. Now watch something. So here he's in a foreign land. And we find out that he ended up now in a strange land. And look, now the mind battle starts. Because the brothers back in one country. And they're supposed to be part of the vision. And it looks like what he preached now is false. Because they were supposed to be bowing down, and then one country and he in one country. And he's down here and was a slave. Amen. And brother, when God began to bring him under the testing of that word, like many people, you know, how could somebody be tested if they've read Revelation? He didn't go into no test yet. The test they're getting is to get a revelation. They ain't been tested on the revelation yet. Because when you get a real revelation, And God will test you. Your test will come upon what God revealed to you. When some people meet, the first test they get, they want to backslide, they want to do this and do the other. Then they have no typos. They don't know what they really believe. It's sure they get no revelation yet. Their test is to get a revelation. So in the testing time, here he was. And the mind battle starts. And instead of going to punch him, will you preach on so? Is this something going to happen? Your people with adoption, full authority, how are you going to stand there? In the harvest time, you'll be formed back in the image of the word. You'll have dominion. You'll preach all these things. You'll be on the sun, the moon, the stars, and the solar system. And all them, the first Bible, it you've been reflected on earth in the living Bible. You just look at you now. Which part of the Bible you is? But brother, watch. While he was there in that testing time, God has given him little experiences to show him and console him that God's with him. And it's like many of us in one season, God breaks forth the word vision because we had to know what age we're in. We had to know what is the promise of this age. We had to know what part of the word we are going to fulfill. We had to know exactly what has been fulfilled and what is yet to be fulfilled. We had to have something to put us in a channel where our faith can really operate, where we can really serve God on the expectation, knowing what God wants to bring to pass. Otherwise, you would just come to the church and going back home. But when God set us in that channel, then we're serving God consciously now with a vision. When experiences come, we can relate to it now. So here he was. God had given him those things, like he had given us those things. In one season, it had been blessing after blessing. Things opened up in the world and we're rejoicing, and God saw Samson rejoice, and Gideon rejoice, and Esther rejoice, and David rejoice, and he saw Gideon rejoice, and he saw Elijah and rejoicing. Oh, it was a happy time. And then the time come now. But all we have seen and talking about was still yet future. The major part of it was still yet future. And here, when the time came, little experiences, he fall into the right channel, like Potiphar, he being blessed. Things are so hard after all. He being accepted. I know sometimes God open up a little door for you here, a little door for you here. Maybe somebody, you know, excommunicated somebody, accept here somebody, and they're kind of going through nice now. So, you know, Potiphar didn't go nice. He even was elevated in Potiphar's house. But Potiphar didn't even know where he had. All Potiphar knew, the Bible says, everybody fooled in the place. He had so committed everything into the hands of Joseph. All he had known but what he had was the food of 70 something to eat. Because he left everything solely in Joseph's care. Because the trustworthiness. And all that time, he's there. Can't understand what is happening. It seems like your life take a strange turn. It seems like no revelation is coming to kind of open up or keep alive or inspire what God already showed you about yourself. And you're there getting a battle of whether those things you preach is accurate. Whether those things that you preach is really going to come to pass. Or how is it going to happen? And while he was there, maybe, you know, doing a little service here, doing a little service here. But Potiphar, they can't maybe tell him about your preacher and so. How come it come to pass here? They don't know. So they accept him for something else. They accept him for maybe his good mannerly conduct. You know, the way he came about himself like a prince, and the way he's well trained, and the way he's sociable, and the way he's very respectful and obedient. And they admire these things in him. But inside of him, he know what he has said. He know what has been revealed to him. He know the faith and the inspiration. He knew the experiences when those things came. He know the anointing that accompanied those things. So look at him now. Then the time came when we find that he had to go through the time there with Potiphar's wife. And God began to try more. And the test began to get more severe. And brother, she will lie. When she tried, you know, thinking that he was after popularity, or you know, that he was maybe just a fellow on emotion. But he wasn't on no emotion. He had no little worldly ambition. But because regardless, down in that place, he was determined he was going to set to that word. And we find that church there, you know, begin to kind of play up to him. But brother, he come in that church. He do what his master done to do, and he go right back out. And after a while, she said, she has your husband, you know. But she said, come around. Joseph, your husband ain't wrong. Joseph, come and lie with me. Come on this, come on that. And brother, he knew it was a test. And he knew he's the kind of person, he can't get bound of a situation. Because brother, he watch his prophet father. He watch how he walk. He watch the angel Lord, how he come to him, show him things. He knew what the father had seen him when he gave him that quote to begin with. The brother is caring about himself with dignity. And brother, he resist, and you press. Until finally, it seems like things are going to go worse now. Now he's end up in prison, down in the dungeon, in a strange country, bound in fetters of iron, and the test that on the things that was revealed about himself was becoming more severe. It was becoming more severe. And brother, I believe God has many of us in a place here tonight. Think that God struggled ourselves. Think that God spoke to us. Think that we're going to speak back to people. And here in a situation tonight, it seems so far that sometimes we want to deny the revelation. Because in our carnal mind, we can't see no way that can come to pass. But there's a God, amen. Brother, who can work all things together for God. God can make it ridiculous. God can make it look so contrary to show he's God over everything. He don't care in a foreign country. He's going to bring him a quiet in a bow down here. God is going to do it. Amen. It wasn't his business to bring it to pass. God is his own interpreter. It was his business to preach what God tell him. Amen. To say what God put in his heart. And leave the interpretation up to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now what's something? So then the time came. And while he's down in prison, you know the experiences. He learned to be a prisoner now. Amen. God was training him. He was going through a hard time down in the prison. The prophet says here, about Joseph. Now here, look what I'm bringing my inspiration here tonight. Joseph in prison with Christ on the cross. You know what I'm saying? Because one died and one lived. And one died and one lived in the prison. But Christ on the cross is the voice of the archangel. Where the masterpiece is being smitten. Where he cried a loud voice and then went and preached to the Lord and raised the sleeping saints. Is that correct? And that is a part of the ministry of the Son of Man to be fulfilled today. And holy faith and holy works is to bring forth the holy promise of the voice of the archangel. But Joseph in prison, when he came out of prison, when he came out of that cross, he was going into a ministry of the voice of the archangel. Is that correct? Okay, so listen here. Christ, you mentioned God in page 31. He said in the dungeon, how he suffered there. There was two saved. The butler and the baker, one of them lost, one was saved, rather. The butler, amen, one was lost, one was saved. Just as on the cross, when he was in his prison house attached to the cross for our sins, we become a prisoner. One thief was lost, one thief was saved. See, just exactly. Then he became the right hand of Pharaoh, the king. Then he dreamed and had the vision that he would sit on the king's seat and all authority was given to him. His vision had to come to pass. He might have studied of it many times while he was in that prison down there. His whiskers growing on and so forth. But he studied that someday his vision had to come to pass. Though it lingered, it got to happen. Oh my, when God, I think of them days when God put these things down in my heart. When God opened that old and showed me the principles of the New Testament. When God showed me the mighty Gentile world to be a clean fair drink. When God showed me Samson to be great and works in the judgment hour. When God showed me Gideon, the son of the Lord of Gideon. When the squeeze come out, they offer the burnt sacrifice. When Esther went in the presence of the king and received the scepter with our people. Amen. And God showed me those things. And I know though it tarried, got to happen. Because I know them word visions was correct. Amen. Show me my path. I see the Elijah path. I see the Jews path. Amen. But I see a mystery between the Gentile prophets and the Jewish prophets. I see there's something that happened between 1966 and 1987. I know there was something that come to pass. There's a promise of a super church inside of there. Because the Gentile prophets have come and gone. The two Jewish prophets are yet to come. But there's to be a ministry come forth to show forth his victory. I know that ministry to finish the ministry of the Son of Man. Amen. To preach to the lost and raise the sleeping saints. Amen. And here we're going through many hard times. Sometimes it makes me scratch my head and wonder what is happening, Lord. Sometimes I don't know exactly how God's going to work in the wrong and bring the past. But I know it's going to carry. And again, to make us question. And we wonder. But we will not backslide. We stand there regardless with a dying faith that God is his own interpreter. Amen. Seven church ages, page 39. Is it all that? Let's examine the life of Joseph while he was in Egypt. For it is here we see him as a perfect type of Christ. Look at him now in this age of perfection, in this adoption age, in the harvest time, when the life is formed back in the word image. Now, here we see him as a perfect type of Christ. While in the house of the general, he was falsely accused, punished, and imprisoned without a cause. Just like they did to Jesus. Amen. Just like they did to you. Make him punished, imprisoned without a cause. Things go wrong. What are you going to do? Try to get everybody and argue and argue and argue? So with a point? Done before it, sir. Amen. God, my life is in your hand. Amen. I live in for myself. I'm going to commit my life to Jesus Christ. When I lay down there at the foot of Calvary, ask him to accept it. Amen. But I tried as best as I could to walk in his revival after that. Amen. For me to die is gain, for me to live is Christ. The life I live now in this flesh, since the cross of chastisement, since I've been born again, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the revelation of the word for this age. Amen. Live for that word, bong, and change that word. Amen. Day and night. You can't make things come out right, it's got to make it come out right. It looks like it's going wrong. You look like frustrated. No, you praise him in the good times. You praise him in the bad times. In everything, you give him thanks. Hallelujah. You know, in the end, when you come out, you'll thank him for the mountains. You will thank him for the valleys. You will thank him for the trials. If you never had a problem, amen. How would you know that God could solve them? You're going to come out, going to purge in the fiery trial with the character of Almighty God. Like you said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. It's going to come to that. So it's here we see him. He says, in Egypt we see him as a perfect type of Christ. While in the house of the general, falsely accused, punished, imprisoned without a cause. Just like he did to Jesus there in prison. He interpreted the human butler. Remember the butler? The butler and the baker down inside of there. He's a prisoner. Preach all them great revelations already. About the harvest time, about the firmament, about dominion, about the galaxies. And now he's down there. Seems like no revelation for a season. But God, that gift was inside of him. So brother, one night, he was there, then he had noise on the jail. He looked, he saw the butler and the baker coming in, but they kicked him and threw him inside of there. Amen. They spent quite a season, and the Bible said one day, Joseph got up and he saw them very sad, kind of gloomy. Just comparing revelations. Both of them get revelations the night before. While he walked up there, you know, he kind of listened to them. He said, why are you so sad? So he had already found out that the butler, you know, Pharaoh threw the butler in prison for putting the new wine in old bottles. Amen. But they take all that good wine and put it in a bunch of old bottles and burst up and throw it all Pharaoh real vintage. Amen. But when the king wanted stimulation and drink that wine there, but the wine didn't ferment good. His heart wasn't merry. But he gets so vexed with the wine of wrath instead. But he lost him in prison. Amen. The anger of the king. Then the next baker, Pharaoh warned him many times. The king warned him many times, look, don't put no leaven in my bread. Amen. Keep your own ideas out of this thing. When you're mixing this thing, mix it with 7 measures of meal. Fine flour, amen. Sifted. And no leaven inside of it. But fine, what happened? He going there, you know, one day check his own ideas, thinking the king, you know, will be happy with some little denominational taste. Amen. Bite that bread, do something wrong. But I put him in jail, amen. For putting the leaven inside the king bread. So here they went through a season, but in banishment. So then the time comes, and here Joseph now the gift inside of him. But in that season, when he kind of told him the dream, it flashed before him like a vision, he saw it. He says, them 3 branches that bud and blossom and bring forth ripe grapes, and you squeeze it in the cup and give back to Pharaoh, that means in 3 days' time, he will be back in Pharaoh's presence, serving the king. And he preached the revelation of a restoration. Amen. Restoration right back to your original place. Amen. Hallelujah. That you fell from. For redemption. Right back. Amen. With all authority that you had before. And Joseph being the open revelations. But look at the things he preached. He preached about the harvest time, about the wheat age, about the form image of the life of Christ, about the galaxy, you know, the spirit of restoration. Then here comes the baker. What is his dream? He had the three baskets. The one on top wasn't sealed. The first one was sealed, the second one, and then the third one was up, and that one wasn't sealed. And he had all the bread up inside of there with the leaven inside of it. And while he's walking down the road, the fowls of the air begin to come. They suffer the great God. The fowls of the air, all them demon spirits, begin to get in the basket that was unsealed. Because it was Luther was at Pentecost. And that Pentecostal age. Amen. But them demon spirits are going to take it over. And then Joseph saw it. He said, in 3 days' time, they're going to hang you on a tree. The Bible said, curses every man that hangeth on a tree. He said, the fowls of the air are going to eat your flesh. Amen. Joseph began to preach about Armageddon and the supper of the great God in the evening time and the fowls of the air feeding upon them. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to eat that age there and feed upon them. And he preached judgment under the sixth seal in the day of vengeance, the wrath of God. Amen. The wrath of the king. Hallelujah. And brother, he was yet to open up the mystery about his storehouse and the store of food and the famine. Hallelujah. Amen. All them great revelations that Joseph in every season, that gift was pulling them things out and laying it out there. And we find out that in 3 days' time, here was the butler went right back to his place, restoration, and the baker was hanged. Amen. On either side of the thief, one died on the cross, spiritually, but the other was granted life. And notice when Jesus was taken off the cross, he was exalted into heaven and now to the right hand of God, of the great spirit of Jehovah, and no man can come except by him. Amen. As the eagle turned in his page 22. Just let us lay into my listening quickly. Have you ever stopped to think of the lovely Joseph? Oh my. Here you are tonight, the lovely Joseph. What if he had given up and quit praying when he was in the dungeon? You and your testing time tonight. Amen. The virgin is great promise. All the great revelation has been preached to you. All the things you have seen yourself in so clearly that you identify yourself and it stimulates you when it broke forth before your eyes. But now it seems like you're in a valley, but in the valley restored your soul. Amen. Now you're in the dungeon, the fetters of the iron. But in the tender hand of Jehovah, what is he doing in the furnace of his fiery trial? He is purifying you, amen, until the appointed time. The word of the Lord is trying him. He's tried by his own revelation that he preached. He's being tried by the vision of Gideon. Being tried by the vision of Samson. Being tried by the vision of Esther. Being tried by all these word visions of himself. Amen. Have you ever stopped to think of the lovely Joseph? What if he had given up and quit praying when he was in the dungeon? If any man had a right to quit on God and to give up because of he was seemingly forsaken, it was Joseph. God will forsake you tonight. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He was cast into a dungeon for taking a stand against sin. Amen. Many people are going to compromise. They say, last time I make a stand, I get in trouble. I make a stand again. It dies that. Let go of the train. But if you have the life of Christ in you, regardless what before you, amen. What shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Shall famine, pestilence, tribulation, persecution? Amen. We are conquered as sheep. Amen. Kill all day long. Hallelujah. But let me give my testimony tonight. There is no present, no past. Amen. No more dark ages. But all things are coming to squeeze. Amen. Nothing. Amen. Height, no depth, no length, no breadth. Principality, no powers. Could separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus tonight. Amen. We'll stand regardless. If I perish, I perish. Hallelujah. He was cast into the dungeon for taking a stand against him. How could God allow him to be thrown into prison when he had such a courageous and loyal stand for God? Surely Joseph had a right to rebel and backslide in a cold state after such a thing. And if God had been giving him a trial with a little food or a little job, and you had a backslide in God for that, shame on you, amen. Hallelujah. If anybody had a chance of backslide with Joseph, amen, he still stands for righteousness. He stands true and loyal. And look what happened. His feet was in fetters of iron, bound in chains. But in jail, they throw you in prison. You know what prison is? You're asleep when they tell you to sleep. You have no right to your own. You want to drink a water? If you want to tell you you can drink water, you can drink water. You think a man in jail say, they knock on that cell, or when they ring that bell, and your partner give me a chance, man. I want to sleep late last night, yes? Look, I won't catch up and sleep because I still can't live on these days. Brother, beat him out of hell. I want to go for a walk. I feel about exercise. I want to jog a little bit this evening. And brother, there was work to do. He had to go and do that. Because he's in prison. He do what they tell him. Prisoners first, then vindicated and pleasant. He learned to be a prisoner, bound in chains of dust, said the Lord, to become a love slave to the word. No rights of your own. Take all my rights away. Amen. So he can have preeminence, Lord. We want power, but preeminence is first. Amen. It must have people ready to take God at every word. Then there shall be a second ride. Every knee shall bow. There will be a people when they bring on the holy vesture. Amen. Hallelujah. We see the first ride. It's time for the second chariot to come forth. Hallelujah. Amen. There must be a people with a chain around the neck, with a ring on the hand, with a new name, with a new vesture. Amen. Hallelujah. There's going to be that ministry. He had a right to rebel, backslide, a cold shit, that sort of thing. He could have, but he prayed. He prayed. And he still believed God for the supernatural. And look to the God's mighty hand to bring him out. How many of your Pentecostal whole Hollywood preachers would have held out like Joseph? 3 long years in a filthy, bug-infested dungeon with men of evil natures for constant company. Amen! All kind of filthy, vile, all wicked men, amen! All kind of evil desires trying to pervert him to the acts, the religious acts. Hallelujah! But he stood here, amen! He stood here strong! On expectation that God will bring to pass what he has shown me in the vision. So it tarry, yet the vision shall speak in the appointed time. Hallelujah. God was teaching him patience. You learn to be a prisoner. You become a love slave. He was coming to learn to live with no rights of his own. He was coming to learn to live just dependent upon God. Amen. That's the place God wants you and me tonight. But many of us are strong in our heads still. We have so much ideas. We have so much ability still. But God will bring us where we know nothing else but his word, amen. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then you watch a ministry of power move, amen. He hung on to God. He hung on to prayer. He didn't waver. Weeks went into months, months into years. Still God didn't take him out. Oh, he could have given up but not chosen. I know God sent your message this evening. Amen. I know he's hearing the message tonight. Amen. He was born again. He couldn't give up. Something within him cried out as he did in Job, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Lord, I don't know how we're going to do the greater work. I don't know how you're going to bring it around. Amen. He's still going to be healed by one of the blind within the dead of the race. But I know you'll do it anyhow because you reveal to me your sweet Lord. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to stand true. I won't compromise one inch. He hung on for 3 long years. Then God brought Moses' mighty hand. He brought Joseph out. Let me tell you, he's getting ready to bring some of you out now. Notice what I think of scripture, Genesis 41. Pharaoh sent for him. The prison doors. Amen. He's going to come out. And just picture him tonight and put yourself in it. Walking out from the prison door. And look at the experiences that followed after he learned to be a prisoner. He went into the presence of the king. And in the presence of the king, brother, he had come to a place of adoption. He said, bring on the holy vesture. Put the chain upon him. Put the ring on. A ceremony is going on. You shall have all authority. You shall rule my people by your word. Have jurisdiction over the entire earth. And you're going to go forth in the second chariot of every knee shall bow when you come forth. Amen. And brother, I believe tonight we are heading right in that place. I believe we're walking into that ministry tonight. I believe the time has come, many of us who have been torn for years and labor and sweat and we have to be broken and God has to take us through his mill and his fiery trial. Many of us who tried to, couldn't understand. But now the Holy Spirit seems to scatter the dark night away and the light is shining in because it's getting ready for such a time like this. Amen. I said tonight, if the church would pray, amen. He said he brought Joseph out to the supernatural manifestation and ever since that day, Joseph left the dungeon, the supernatural of God accompanied him wherever he went. I say tonight, the prophet says, that if the church will pray, oh, pray and hang on, that one day it will arise and God will bring it out with his mighty hand and endue this power from on high as he did on the day of Pentecost. And like Joseph, they will go forth in the land with the supernatural of God with them. Remain faithful. Deliverance is soon to come, church. Believe me, as God, when I speak the truth, may his words be reactivated tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. The words of the Holy Ghost are speaking to him. The church of the living God may be tried for a season now, but born again sons and daughters are now being led together and being impressed by the Holy Spirit to come away from the world and all its ties. Break down every grove tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul, a prisoner of Christ, page 24-25. Joseph, he was an elected son. He was a perfect type of Jesus Christ. He was born a prophet. He was a prophet also. And now he can see visions. And when he was a little boy, he saw a vision of himself sitting on a throne and his brothers bound him. But watch. He kind of felt like he was a great guy. And all but what God had to do, he did the same thing as he did to the rest of them. Because Moses was a deliverer. Paul was a deliverer. Now Joseph was a deliverer. He saved his people from the famine. What did God have to do to him? Put him in prison right straight away. Look at that ministry, the voice of the archangel. You got to learn to be a prisoner. That ministry is to be prisoners going to that ministry. People who learn to be a prisoner, then they become a vindicated person. Then go for all authority. But they'll be tried by the word visions that God has given of themselves before that ministry can come into power. Amen. He said, God has to strip it. Notice this. Oh, but all the time I believe in that prison, he could remember that vision. Said he was going to sit on a throne and his brothers were going to bow to him because he knew that his gift came from God and he knew it had to come to pass. If we could only keep that in our minds, that according to the word of God in these last days, he's going to have a church, going to have a people, and these things that he promised, he's going to do them. He said he would, and we are living in that time with the word. He's just trying to get us to be real prisoners now, locked in with him. He says, in these last days, he's going to have a church, going to have a people, and these things that he promised. He showed us in Ruth, showed us in Esther, showed us in Gideon, showed us in Sarah, showed us in all of them. These things that he's going to do. But he's just trying to get us to be real prisoners now, locked in with him. Preeminence is first, then power. Prisoners first, then vindicated and play songs. Did you know the old song we used to sing? And then I'm shut in with God. I want to be shut in with God. When I thought about that, shut in with God, nothing else. Enter into your secret closet. Lock your door behind you. Hallelujah! Pray to your Father in secret. And he'll reward you. You know what the angel told the prophet in that 10th vision? Amen! You know what you're buying under the pong in heaven? You're buying that mamba in a nut. Shutting with God. You can only do as God says. Then you shut with God. Now remember, he was thinking. He became a total failure to himself. All he knew, all he understood, everything. He became a total failure. It didn't work. He was put in a situation where nobody would listen to him. He was a prisoner. He was put in a situation unbelievers would not believe. See what I mean? His ministry was none effect. It's like he didn't accomplish nothing for a season. Look at nothing really happening. And you're trying hard, a lot of effort. Seem like it didn't, to no avail. And make yourself a wonder. And the thoughts begin to come. And you're going to check yourself. You're going to pray. Kind of dig up in your life. Kind of turn over every stone. You think you're falling with you or something. But God is trying you. The thoughts going to come, maybe you displease God. Say, I want to give you guilt and bring back condemnation to some old thing God didn't forgive you for. See? And then while that coming on now, no more confidence because condemnation coming in. Amen. But all the time God trying you. Amen. Testing you. This is what you're going to do. But he become a prisoner. God took him in a prisoner until the wheels got rolled upright. And that's why many of us, oh, we want to do this, but God cut us off. We want to do that. God cut us off. And you get frustrated. No. Don't be frustrated. Amen. God cut you off for a purpose. Nothing going wrong with you. If you are elect of God, every step taking a step of the promise. Amen. Transforming power, transforming you. But he allowed you to discover certain things in the way he's passing you. Finally, God kept him in the prison. He came to him and he used the gift that he had given to get him out. Exactly, brought him from prison. What did he do? As soon as he brought him from his prison, he was given power by the king. He was changed. He was brought from the prison house and given power. So whatever he said had to happen. Any prisoner who constantly remembers, he was born for a purpose. He was born to sit by a king, and all the rest of them was going to bow down to him. His vision told him so. What have your vision told you? In the last days, there'll be a spiritual race. As she nears the headstone, she'll be in his own image in order to be united with him. Did your vision tell you that? Amen. But before his vision could be completely fulfilled, he had to become a prisoner. Oh, it excites us when we saw it. We thought it would happen right away. We tried to preach on a storm. We thought the fire would have fall. We thought we'd spread revival around the world. Amen. But then the trials come. Then it seems like everything went out of place. Then it seems like we went all our own different ways. Then all kinds of things happening. But the wheel of prophecy is rolled up right. Hallelujah. God is bringing to a place, trying you, making you a prisoner. You can't go where you want. It's where God sent you. Because you're a prisoner. Go here. Yes, Lord, I have no other desire, no other ambition. Amen. Go over there. Oh, if you say so, Lord. People say, well, you know, the children can get leprosy, cholera, and typhoid in Africa, in the jungles there. You live in a good church like this. Nice, secure, income and everything. Everything's so nice. You don't have to go through there and starve and go through a hard time. He said, God, tell me, go to the safest place in the whole world for me to go. A prisoner. Amen. Big opportunities. I don't say, a big orphan over here, better go over there. I only have 10 people over here. You're going there and sweat in that little hot box. He says, God, want me to go there? I'm going to go there. Like God told Paul, don't go to Asia. Go into Macedonia. Turn around. Amen. Right away, a prisoner. If I wasn't a prisoner this evening, I'd have come. Did tell me that message study whole day. But the Holy Spirit is going to put you in prison, but you have to be a prisoner too. Amen. Change at the last moment. Go in by faith. Go in the pulpit. Wait for the inspiration in the pulpit. It's going to come. I'll not fail you. Amen. Stand here. Have faith in the commission. Have faith in the anointing. Have Holy Spirit and Holy Work and Holy Union. You're not preaching about it. You have to be it. Any prisoner who comes to you, remember, he's born for purpose. Sit by a king. See? Before his vision can completely be fulfilled, he has to become a prisoner, then he become a ruler, and when he comes from his prison house, become a prisoner to the word of God, he can only see what God put in his mouth. Then God moved to him. Amen. If you sit to this mountain, he had power to bind to a prison. Now we find out he became a prisoner. From a prisoner to the world. Amen. From a prisoner of his own thinking to a prisoner of God. And when he came out, he had power with God. And they had to be stripped of their own thinking. All the prisoners, in order to become a prisoner to the will and ways of God. And you remember now that he had power to bind at his own word. He had power to loose at his own word. Is that what Psalm 105 says? Loose them prisoners, bind them, teach them sinners wisdom. After the king loosed them from prison. Pharaoh made Joseph his son. Christ makes his prisoners of love his sons. And he gives them power, the same thing he had. John 14:12, here, believe it in me, the works that I do shall he do also, even more than this shall he do. Amen. Page 26, he says, now the prisoner of the love of Christ becomes empowered by his king who is Christ. And verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, do it not in your heart. But believe what you said will come to pass, you will have what you said. If you abide in me, my word abide in you. If you are yoked to me, because him and his word is the same. If you abide in me, not the end here, abide in me, and my word abide in you, ask. Challenge your faith tonight. Ask what you will. Let every man be a liar. Let God be the truth. Amen. It will be done. He has power. Notice before he came out, he had to be taken and shaved. Oh, I tell you, he shaved us in last meeting. And he's still shaving us tonight. Amen. Before he came out, he had to be taken out and shaved. A few things had to be shaved off before he could meet his king. A few of them wills, I will do that. And nobody will tell me. And I'm the message long enough. And nobody gonna rule my life. No minister gonna tell me what to do. And I have my own revelation. You have to shave them things off. And I think I know better than my husband. After all, I do all the working. And he only work now and then. You're gonna shave them things off. Amen. But nothing wrong. It's to bring a ministry of power. It's to bring a second ride. It's to bring a holy vesture. It's to bring the ring and the chain. Amen. Look what it says. Page 23, from your faith right after the Holy Spirit seals into Christ. Then you become one. You become one. You and Christ live together that day. You know I'm the Father, and the Father and me. Then that's a sealed unit. Page 23 and 24, blasphemous names of the Lord God. Now, then they are vindicated and praised. When that time takes place, they become vindicated sons and daughters of God. When that time comes, they come from faith right up the way to perfect love. They become one with God. I and you and you and me, they become vindicated and praised.
Amen. He said, Matthew 17, Mark 9, hear him, the praise of a son, Ephesians 1:5. When a son is born, the children have to raise it. They can never did come to be the right kind of son. He never did become heir, but if he's the right son, and the son will be obey his father, that son was adopted or placed positionally. He become heir of what the father had. And that's what God was doing in Mount Transfiguration. When he took his own son, he had proven to be the right kind of son. He stood all temptations. He took him on the Mount Transfiguration to overshadow him. You know in the Old Testament, get it now, in the Old Testament here we see Joseph. They took his son, dressed him in a nice, pretty garment. But before he could get that garment, he had them word visions, he was going to be in the garment one day. And have power. But look where he had to pass before he actually put on that garment. He had to learn to become a prisoner. And then become a vindicated place son. And set him out there before the public. And they had a ceremony of placing. We call it adopting. Amen. And then he said, now in the Old Testament, when that son was adopted or placed in the family, his name was just going to check as his daddy was. Pharaoh told him, only the throne I'll be greater than you. They had a ring in them days, a signet, they spit on it. That was a signet because he was given a ring, he was given a chain, he was given a pretty garment. And that was just good as daddy's. And remember, when that member is born by the Holy Ghost in the family, God and proven all these virtues in him, that God can see virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, bodily kindness, and godliness in him, then God seals you and places him. That's when you see sons and daughters of God. Amen? So you had to be taken out and shaved, and then he came into that place. One last thing as we finish the message. I make good time tonight. I just think so. Now watch. Genesis 37. He was 17 years old. 17 years old. And he begins to catch faith. A vision of himself positionally placed. And let me tell you, you don't have Bible faith yet, except you have a vision of yourself positionally placed. Because faith is recognizing your position in the Word. And that real perfect faith is faith of the position that you are predestined to. And you are predestined unto the adoption of children. And this age is an adoption age. When you're going to be formed back in the image of the Word, have the original image of the life, the corn of wheat, the sheaf that he dreamed, he was a sheaf. He said, my sheaf and your sheaf. Because adoption time when the life was in the form image. Now what Joseph in Genesis 37? The Word seed in him in infancy. But in Genesis 41:46, he was in the vision. With all authority, with the ring and the chain, and he saw his brothers bowing down right there. The vision was now being manifested. He was in that ministry of the second ride. He was placed positionally because he proved to be a prisoner. Then he became a vindicated and placed servant. Then his word, what he spoke, he was correctly ordained and sent by Pharaoh. And all the power of Egypt was invested in him. And when he spoke, it was backed up by Egypt. Amen. And here he was. At that time, the Bible says, he remembered. Like Abraham last night, on the mountaintop, he looked back. The first vision, I will make you a great nation. And he stood there in Genesis 22. Look at Joseph here. I'm trying to prove to you these last 2 nights. Where we stand here tonight is one revelation God has opened right down to this hour. That we have grown into and become the Word. The part of the Word that God revealed to us that we are. And when he stood there, he remembered what he spoke to them in his first pull, so to speak, of his ministry on his boyhood visions. When the life was in infancy. Before he was placed positionally with all authority. Now when he was speaking with full authority. But he was remembering. This is what I had preached years ago. I'm standing in the fulfillment of it now. He was formed into the word image. It was no longer a word vision. It was a vindicated word. Joseph, God has given him faith. His divine revelation from God. The word for his age. The mystery for that age was Christ being revealed to him. And out of that faith, the Bible said bring forth virtue. Any man who have faith, who God gives faith to, they could strengthen one another. After he converted, strengthen your brethren. And he, with his revelation God has given him of the word for that age that was to be fulfilled in his life, that he was preaching. He was trying to strengthen his brothers with it. He wasn't really trying to establish himself.
But he was preaching what God had revealed to him. But it was being misunderstood. And it caused him a disturbance. But in meekness, he was trying to strengthen those around him with that divine knowledge, which was the prophetic promises for that age. That was our purpose. Then knowing that those visions were the sovereign working of the Holy Spirit, he knew God would take care of it. Because you have knowledge. I'm not just speaking to you. You don't think it's changed because any fire trials. If you have real scripture knowledge, to know your age, to know your position, to know your promise, to know the two spirits in the primary church. You see, to know the father's path and the mother's path and the brother's path and your path. Amen. Then that knowledge that had him there, that he knew what kind of spirit was in there. He knew he wasn't ready for such a message. And what is happening? But he could be tempered to them. He never fussed with them, he never argued them. When they opposed him, he never hated them and disagreed with him. Because he was tempered in all these things. Because the man who strives for the mastery must be tempered in all things. He was watching. Because he was catching a vision of adoption. And he's preaching it. And he's walking under the inspiration of his vision into the fulfillment of it. But that revelation wasn't just about giving stimulation. It was given power to handle every situation he was being confronted with. Amen. His eagle eye, brother, was fixed on that goal. It was fixed on that prize of adoption. Full redemption was set before him. Even his temptation as a young unmarried man, a beautiful woman, constantly pushing herself upon him. But he resisted them. It had to flee from him. Amen. And but he stood there, temperate, self-control, holding his precious objection, not behaving himself unseemly. Amen. And though he was jailed, yet he knew all these things. He was working together for good. He knew that tribulation was to work patience. Amen. The time of trial, the testing of his faith, the word of the Lord tried him until his set time, until the appointed time. His prophetic visions, which he testified beforehand, he knew he had been put to the test. And the testing of his faith, the testing of his revelation was to give him patience. You had need of patience before you receive the promise. Amen. Let patience of his perfect work in you, let him have the perfect and entire wanting nothing. And but while you've been tried by those things you're testifying about, he stood there waiting even in a time of impatience and anxiety. He tried to compromise with the butler, or get the butler to compromise with him. You see, when you go up, remember me to your presence. Trying to use human ability to work out. Because he failed to recognize God was teaching him to be a prisoner to bring his word vision into fulfillment. And those things was nothing going wrong, and he was not a victim of circumstances. Even that was predestined by God. Even in that, he must conduct himself with joy amid them trials. And brother, when time that butler walk out, God wipe it away from the butler mind. The butler forget everything clean. Because no human ability is going to take him out. He was going to come out in the set time. And many of you try all kind of things. You try all kind of schemes. It backfires, you know why? Because God has you in there for a purpose. Amen! God has to beg the greenness out. God has to bring you to a place where you lose all confidence in your own ability. You come totally dependent upon God. Amen. I'm working with patience, learning patience in the air. And then the time came. He came before Pharaoh. He never used a gift for commercial because now he understood God's purpose. And but he come before Pharaoh there. He was just doing his father's business. Pharaoh told him the dream. And he didn't say, look, on condition that you let me go free. So if Pharaoh said after he interpreted the dream, he go back in jail, he's satisfied because he knew God had a purpose. God will bring him out. Because the testing of that faith was bringing patience. And real faith will have real patience. If it really reveals to you, you're going to wait until it comes to pass. Because the God who showed you is able to perform it. So brother, there he stood under a trying time. He was just doing the Father's business. Godliness, to be like Jesus. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Amen. To do the Father's business. Thou is his meat. My meat is to do the work that set me. A living for me that perisheth not. But he wasn't using the gift of commercial to get some money or some fame or popularity. He knew God had not raised him up, even above Potiphar. He had overcome the lust of the flesh, he had overcome the pride of life, he had overcome the lust of the eyes, all the things he had there.
He had learned to even become a prisoner. He had learned even to wait that upon God's time and season, God is going to bring the past into him. He had true godliness. He did always that which pleased the Father. Then brotherly kindness. When he come to that place, you look at his brothers and them there, who conspire against him. When he speaks his revelation, those who persecuted him, who sold him out, he saw the needs. He saw God's purpose. He saw what God achieved. He saw what God did to him. And he could have loved him. He could have looked beyond the faults. He could look beyond all things. Because why? He was caught up into the revelation of God's purpose that God was going to achieve. He was no longer seeing what they did to him. He was seeing what God achieved. Amen. He didn't love them because they could have given him something. But he loved them because the love of God abided in him. Because they also were the Father's children. They're all from the same Father. He could forgive them 70 times 7. Even when they had fear and they thought he was going to get back at them, he said, look, he said, God had a purpose in it. This is a competition, this is a force. He said, God had a purpose in all that. And he stood there. And brother, he saw from that time, like we who received a vision of our adoption, as faith, as revelation, that foundation. And all that faith, that revelation, the word becoming spirit and life inside of us, we can strengthen one and we can create an atmosphere. Virtue, but I'm saying again, the lily come forth. And the beacon come, the passerby can come. Smell it, it can beautify the environment, it's serving God for us faithfully. Nothing but itself, give it out to others. Living for others, strengthen one another. Knowledge, brother, you're in frustrated, somebody's sitting against you, you know what kind of spirit is that. You're battling on flesh and blood. Temperate in all things. You're not going to fight back. Popularity, money, women, the lust of the eyes, you can keep your flesh in subjection. Any kind of manufacturer bringing out the season, you be patient. There, wait upon the Lord, shall you drink. God have a time and a season. He's going to be revealed. Godliness, but it can be respectful, meek and lowly in heart, about your Father's business, be example. Brotherly kindness, you put himself in the place. He said, then, when they prove that they have those things, then they're going to become vindicated and patient. Then the Father said, bring on the robe, bring the ring, bring the chain. It's time for the second chariot. In that hour, the very vision of the received faith, he was in the fulfillment of that very vision. Where are we standing tonight? Learning to be a prisoner. A shaving off of them withers. You have to be shaved first. Clean shaven. Before you could go in the presence of the King. Some of you have a lot to be shaved off. And God wants to shave it off. All your own self-style ways, all your own little ways, all your yeah, keep you back. Because the hour is come, God is fixing to demonstrate his power in our people. Look at Joseph. He was predestined to that hour. He couldn't help but what he was. And he had seen the vision, he was unexpected for the fulfillment, and now he was in the vision. He had become a prisoner, and now he's going to receive power before his King. He was bound in chains as a love slave. He couldn't go where he wants, couldn't do what he wants. Had no desire, no ambition of his own. His will was to do what the Father required of him. How much of you tonight who have followed the word, who have received a vision, but yet you have your own private ambition, yet that was a good thought in your mind to think, yet it makes it look revelated. But God wanted to bring the past those things in your life. And God has to bring you through some trials. Your feet hurt in fetters of iron and chains. Where you're breaking your self-will. You're breaking that nature. You want to do this. And I'm going to have my way. Until it comes to help is so weak. That the very thing you begin to use to make an excuse, God is going to use it now to bring the past into it. Because when you become weak, then he's becoming strong. And many people are going to get weak. And they begin to feel insecure. They begin to feel like they're coming through a failure. But that's when God can really use them now. Because they're totally emptied out. Don't be afraid to feel weak. When you begin to feel weak, you're coming to the place God wanted you. It's not the human strength going to bring these things to pass. But if you trust him, though the visions in the time, yet it will come to pass. Did you see yourself tonight? It's me. That's the revelation. Do it seem to tarry? You're gonna come to pass? Let's start singing that song tonight. It's me. I think right just to Helen, God inspired, she wrote that song, Hymnology. Amen. Here tonight we're preaching these things, our word vision. Joseph tried by the word of the Lord, tried by the very thing he confessed, tried by the very thing God showed about himself. God is going to try you on somebody else's revelation. He's going to try you on what he showed you about yourself. Making you a prisoner, finding you changed. When you send your forth in his ministry, is Christ walking your feet, speaking to your lips, thinking with your mind, seeing to your eyes, working with your hand. For me to live is Christ, for me to die is Jesus. Whether in life or in death, that Christ will be magnified in this body. If I perish, I perish. Amen. May we come to that place.
Wonderful name. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. It's me, that's the revelation. I believe that's what we preached to us tonight by the grace of God. How many been seeing themselves in the word of God tonight? Amen. Then it, you know, it goes to, we might as well see what part of the whole vision we are seeing ourselves in tonight. Amen. Are we in the prison, in the dungeon? Or are we at the point in time where we're hearing the voice of the King calling to us, telling us it's time to have a change in our name? Amen. Telling us it's time to, for the second chariot to come forward? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it was speaking something to us. Amen. And we must be at some point. Amen. We must be identified somewhere in the world because it's really speaking our lives. Amen. So we believe that we could stand like Simeon, like Simeon in the temple, in all little posts of duty where we are called to, where because we know that God spoke to our hearts, we are saying that we won't see death till we see the Lord Christ. Amen. Regardless of what comes, regardless of where God takes us, where he passes us, but we know that we won't see death till we see the Lord Christ. We are certain of that by the grace of God. Amen. We know that God will bring it to pass. He doesn't change his mind about his word. If he ever spoke something, brother, he'd bring it to pass. And he did say, there'll be a bride, there'll be a super church, there'll be a super race. He did say, then it will come to pass. Amen. The prophet saw a bride. Amen. And brother, there is a bride by the grace of God. And we believe that we are hearing his voice calling on to us tonight. Amen. Brother, it's time for the sacrifice to be on the altar, the second bullock. Amen. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. It's only a reasonable service unto the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. How many enjoy the word of God tonight? Amen. How many people have time to search themselves out? Amen. Because we believe it's a real soul-searching time. It's time to step out the dungeon. Amen. It's time to step out the prison houses. Amen. And I believe that the prisoner that's holding us ready is ourselves. Amen. The flesh, brother, is time to step out into an atmosphere of faith. Amen. To believe the word of God. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Have a change in our names. Amen. Telling us it's time for the second chariot to come forward. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it was speaking something to us. Amen. And we must be at some point. Amen. We must be identified somewhere in the world because it's really speaking all lives. Amen. So we believe that we could stand like Simeon, Simeon in the temple, in all the posts of duty where we are called to, but because we know that God spoke to our hearts, we are saying that we won't see death till we see the Lord Christ. Amen. Regardless of what comes, regardless of where God takes us, where he passes us, but we know that we wouldn't see death till we see the Lord Christ. We are certain of that by the grace of God. Amen. We know that God will bring it to pass. He doesn't change his mind about his word. If he ever spoke something, brother, he'd bring it to pass. And he did say, there'll be a bride, there'll be a super church, there'll be a super race. He did say, then it will come to pass. Amen. The prophet saw a bride. Amen. And brother, there is a bride by the grace of God. And we believe that we are hearing his voice calling on to us tonight. Amen. Brother, it's time for the sacrifice to be on the altar, the second bullock. Amen. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. It's only a reasonable service unto the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. How many enjoy the word of God tonight? Amen. How many people have time to search themselves out? Amen, because we believe it's a real soul-searching time. It's time to step out the dungeon. Amen, it's time to step out the prison houses. Amen, and I believe that the prisoner that's holding us ready is ourselves. Amen, the flesh, brother, it's time to step out into an atmosphere of faith. Amen, to believe the word of God. Amen, blessed be his wonderful name. Amen, so Brother Gerald asked me to dismiss tonight by the grace of God. He's tied up. You want to have you all excuse him for it. Amen. And I know you all will understand. Amen. You also want me to remind the saints, amen, the believers from distant places, amen, that we would accommodate them on Sunday by the grace of God. Amen. So those of us, as you were seeing earlier on here, who are coming in with children from distant places, accommodations as best as it could be would be provided for you. So we certainly want to come out, amen, in expectation for another outpouring of his spirit. Amen. We just want to sing the first song because search me, O Lord, and know my heart today. Amen. Because we believe that God has been searching us. Amen. Search me, O God. Search me, oh God. Song number 91, the melodies of praise. doesn't know my heart to hear. Try me, O Savior. Try me, O Savior. Oh, no, my thoughts. No. See if there be, oh, some wicked way in me, Lord, some wicked way, oh, cleanse me from every sin. Prisoners tonight, Lord, take my life. Lord, take my life. Oh, I make it holy down. And make, oh, fill my poor heart. Thy great love tonight, thy love divine. Take all my will, my passion, yeah. Oh. Oh, my passion, self and pride, my passion, self. I now surrender, Lord. Now, Lord, if I am. Oh, Holy Ghost, tonight. Revival comes from thee. Revival from thee. Oh, send it, Lord. Send a revival. Stop the work in me. Let it start with me first, Lord. Yeah. For your word declares it tonight. Thy word declares. Lord, you'll supply on it. The highway supply. For blessing now, O Lord. Not what we want tonight, but God could search us out, amen. Search us to know our hearts, amen. He's a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart, but our thoughts are wide open before Him. He knows what's going on the inside. We might be saying one thing, meaning something else, amen. But He knows what's going on the inside. We could try to fool Him tonight. But brother, deep down inside, we know we cannot. For He's the one that searches the reign of the heart. Amen. Brother, we want Him to do that tonight. To search us out. And if there be any evil way in us, let Him take it away from us. That is the desire of our hearts tonight. Because, brother, we want, amen, to enter into our ministry. Brother, that is the desire of our hearts tonight. We don't want anything to hinder us. Perfect love flowing in our hearts. Amen. As we see Him bring on the second chariot. Amen. As we lay as a sacrifice upon the altar. And every flesh, everything of the flesh, consumed. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Search us, Lord, as we bow our heads. Almighty God. How thankful we are tonight, Lord, that we could have sat at Your feet, Lord God, and hear You speak such wonderful things to us, Lord. Father, and telling us, Lord, exactly who we are, where we are at, and Lord, what is expected of us. Lord, it may be hard, it may be trying, it might seem, Lord, even beyond our reach tonight. But dear God, we know that You who have begun the work in us is more than able to take it to the end. So Lord God, we know that there may be things in our lives that could be a hindrance, Father, to Your move. But oh great God, we are asking tonight as we lay ourselves upon the altar that You would burn these things away from us, Lord. Set us free, Lord God, tonight, that we could enter in, Lord. We are mindful of the priest, Lord. The Old Testament entering into His ministry. Lord, He had to be consecrated. Lord, He had to take care of His sins. Everything had to be right, Lord. And here we are, Father. All confessions made, all everything, all in all on the altar of sacrifice tonight. Father, we are in the inner court. Lord, the scepter is outstretched. Father, we are coming up by faith tonight. Oh God, give us the courage. Give us the strength that we need, Father. Remove all shame, all frustration from us, Lord. That we could stretch Your hands forth and touch the scepter. Lord God, Your people everywhere. Downstairs, on the outside, on the inside. Lord, our hearts burning up within us, Father. Lord, we want to put the critic to shut, to close their mouths, Father. We realize it's time, Lord. Oh, great God, pray that You'd bring us in shape. We see Your word, Lord, moving in such a way, Lord, to bring us to this place. Father, we are yielding. Lord, like Isaac yielded himself to Your will. Oh, great God, we are standing. Whatever You want us to do, Lord. Whatever it takes, Father, that our will could break tonight, that's what we are willing to do. So then, Lord, move and hover over us, Father, and bring us to the place that You want us to be. Bless Your man servant tonight, Father. Give him strength, a restful night, Lord. take him into your word, Father. Oh, great God, and comfort him. How many a times, Father, Lord, after the word is preached, Lord, we are looking for their life. Lord God, I will live out the things. Oh, great God, it drove your prophet to a place one time. It drives us, Lord, to our places sometimes. But, oh, great God, there's one thing, Lord, when them seven spirits have spoke to our hearts and show us the types in the Bible, Lord, from Genesis right on through to Revelation, it does give us courage to hold on, knowing, Lord, that you bring your word to pass. Lord, bless your people. Give them the strength that they need, Lord. Oh, great God, Brother Gerald on this side. Brother Joe, all the ministering servants, Father, east, west, north, and south. Even at this time, Lord, we ask your blessing upon them. Search us out, Father. Lord God, and may the coal of fire touch us, Lord. We are ready to go forth. Help us, dear God.